Again, live from Mohegan Sun after day two of the Hall of Fame tip-off. I'm here again with Jeff Goodman and Rob Doster, and we had a full slate of games today. We had two. We are going to start with the first game, the championship game, because that was definitely the better one today, I would say. It was a close one. Purdue came back and ended up beating Villanova. So, you know, let's get to it. How do you think they pulled off this comeback, guys?
Listen, I didn't think they would. You know, usually when Villanova's got a double-digit lead in the second half, you're not coming back against a team like that. They're a veteran team. They're even keel. They make good decisions. I actually thought they wore down. You know, they only played seven, eight guys. Jay Wright even said that after the game. He said, listen, I got to start playing my freshmen a little bit more. But I think it was a combination of just being worn down by not playing a lot of guys and going up against two big boys like Zach Edey and Trevion Williams.
And it was two games in
2 days.
2 days. Right. So their legs are going to kind of wear out on them eventually. But, I mean, it's not the first time that we've seen this happen with Villanova. The same thing happened at UCLA, right? They were up by 10 with 8 minutes
this
left.
One's a little more worrisome. A little more worrisome for me. And worrisome is probably the wrong word. Nothing worries me with this Villanova team. But the UCLA one was at UCLA in a packed crowd, pro UCLA crowd at 11:30 Eastern.
So has this changed your perception of them as a team now?
No, not at all. Not at all. Actually, to be honest, I'm more impressed coming out of these two games with Villanova than I was going into the season. And frankly, it's because of Eric Dixon, their big guy that I just didn't know if he could handle it. He went up and he fought these two big boys today from Purdue. And he did a good job at UCLA after missing a couple of bunnies early. I think Jay Wright feels much better about Eric Dixon being his starting big man than he probably did. Now, again, he's only 6'8", but they fought Purdue, who probably has the top big man duo, maybe situation in the country, and they did fairly well against
them. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about those two big guys that they got, because – I don't think that you can say enough good things about Trevion Williams. I called him today the best teammate in college basketball because I legitimately think that he is.
It's hard to argue with that right now.
When you are a senior, I hope that people listening, the people watching, understand the impact that the sacrifice that Trevion Williams is making and his buy-in has on that program and on that team. He is a senior that got votes for All-American for the preseason team. He was a first-team All-Big Ten player that is benched. Right? He's coming off the bench now. He sacrificed minutes. He sacrificed a starting role. He sacrificed his starring role in the year that was supposed to be his team. Yeah. And now he is on the bench, and he is the biggest cheerleader for the guy that took his spot. Yeah. And when you see that level of buy-in from your senior leader, that impacts everybody on the roster. That turns a roster into a team. Yeah. And that is how we talk about culture all the time. Like, that is the buzzword that everyone loves throwing around when it comes to college basketball. You want to know how you build culture? You get guys to buy like Trevion Williams that do what he is doing, that buy in the way that he is buying in. And it just permeates the entire team.
And, you know, today was obviously a little different than yesterday. Today, they both played their part well. You know, we had Zach Edey doing what he does, getting up there. And then Trevion Williams coming off the bench, and he did just as well, finished it off for him.
Yeah, and actually the most impressive thing for me with Trevion Williams today was defensively.
Yeah.
Going out and guarding in the perimeter. And that's why he was on the court as much as he was. Because, again, that's the hardest part. Neither one of these guys are great on the perimeter, playing against a Villanova team that you got to chase all these dudes around, and they're all three-point shooters.
I would push back a little bit on that, because I thought that Trevion today was
great. He was great. He was great
on the perimeter. And the biggest question with Purdue is going to be, what can they be defensively? And if Trevion is a guy that can come in and make them be able to be switchable 1 through 5, which is what you have to be able to beat this Villanova team. I mean, there were possessions on the stretch. He got down, he sat in the stance, he moved his feet, and he kept Villanova's
guards
in front.
That was that one possession where he went for the full 35, right? I mean, he just got out. 30, I'm
Jeff,
sorry, 30.
What is this, 2008? Come on.
30. For the full 30, he was out there guarding the perimeter, and then after the play, I think Painter pulled him over, like, took him out because he knew he needed a little bit of a break after going. But, yeah, like, those two – are terrific together. They're biggest cheerleaders for one another, and you can see that. And, you know, I talked to Trevion after the game, and he said, listen, as I asked him, I said, when did you find out, you know, that you weren't going to start? And he said, yeah, you know, Paint talked to me a little bit about it, and I was upset at first, but ultimately, listen, this is about the team. This is bigger than me, and I know if I buy in and do the right thing, everybody else is going to buy in. Jaden Ivey could be on another team and average 20 a game if he wants to. He's not going to average 20 a game on this team because they're deep, they're balanced, they're loaded. They got a lot of dudes who can score.
Right. Like you just said, you know, they're a very balanced team, especially today, you know, all their starters with double digit points. But, you know, Zach Edey obviously led the team in points with 21 today. You know, what are your thoughts on him after seeing him not have his best game yesterday, coming out here and doing what he needs to do today?
I mean, he's awesome. We knew we were going to have a good game from him just because he is so much bigger than anyone that Villanova can throw at you. And for about 32 minutes or so, Villanova did a great job taking advantage of him on the other end of the floor, which is why they were able to kind of build that lead. I think Villanova, I'm looking at the box score right now, was 13 for 34 from three. At one point, they were 12 from 27. Mm.
And they had to make shots to stay in this game. They had to make shots. But yeah, Zach Edey is just, there's really no answer for him. Like, I can't wait to see Zach Edey against Kofi this year.
And, you know, I talked to Zach Edey after the game, so we'll cut to that, but he was great. You know, look forward to seeing him play again. He was great after the game. What did this tournament win kind of mean for you as a whole, as a team, getting this win against Villanova, top team in the country, and North Carolina?
It's definitely a big win for our team. We feel like we're a really good team, obviously, but we didn't have that resume. Like last year, we were 23rd in the country, went on the first round. So there's still that chip on our shoulder. We still felt we had to prove ourselves, and a win like this definitely proves ourselves for sure.
You know, you just started playing organized basketball 4 years ago, being from Canada, starting off with that hockey and baseball. How much of a ceiling do you think you have in the game of basketball?
I have no clue, honestly. I mean, I'm just kind of enjoying the process of getting better every day. I don't know where it's going to lead me. I don't know how it's going to take me, but I'm just trying to get better.
And what's it like kind of having this 1-2 punch of you and Trevion Williams, having a guy like him, you know, cheering you guys on when he's on the bench and then, you know, being able to finish when he's in the game?
I mean, it's a nightmare. I'd hate to guard us, honestly. I mean, I can get people in foul trouble. Trey can get people in foul trouble. We'll play each other. We'll play people's backup bigs. A lot of teams don't have two good bigs. So either one dude will be in foul trouble or super tired all game, or we'll just play the backup. So it's hard. Puts teams in a really, really big bind. And we both know that. We both know we're just supposed to dominate inside. We both know we're supposed to go at their biggest guy. So it's a nightmare for other teams, for sure.
All right. Thanks so much, Zach.
Thanks.
Zach Edey is just the best, isn't he? He's such a likable dude.
Yes.
And the thing about him is you can see the development. You know, Jeff, he's played, what,
four years of organized basketball. Grew up playing hockey and baseball. I mean, imagine him. I asked him, you know, Randy Johnson was like 6'10", throwing the baseball. Imagine Zach Edey bearing down on you from the mound at 7'4". Be awesome.
Imagine him as a goalie in hockey.
That'd be pretty good,
too. He would never score. Yeah. He's got to sit in front of the net.
Seriously.
Never be able to score.
By the way, Talia really is – how tall are you, 5'6"?
Borderline 5'7".
I mean, you looked about 3'6".
I know. I know. No, he was towering over me. It was a lot. But, you know, I think we got to get to another player on the team. We got to talk about Jaden Ivey because, you know, he's done it two nights in a row. He's kind of sealed the deal a little bit. He's come in when it really mattered. So I think we do need to touch on that a little bit. How big is it, do you think, having a player like him?
Huge, because he's going to – you know what he's going to do? He's going to win you a couple games by himself, maybe in the NCAA tournament. That's the thing. You come into a game, end of a game, hopefully maybe a Final Four for them, and you just give the ball to Jaden Ivey and you just say, you know what, go make a play. Well,
that is exactly what Villanova was missing tonight. Right. Down the stretch, they did not have someone that you could give the ball to and say, we know we are going to get a shot.
We don't need to run anything.
Bucket. Right. We don't have to run anything. Like, right. Villanova doesn't just really get out of his way.
Right.
They don't run anything. It's their concepts. Right. But they get so much out of what they do. They don't have anyone that they can give it to and say, okay, go make a play.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
how many people How many people have Jaden Ivey? I mean, we can go through it.
It's not a Jaden Ivey, though, but like Duke has Paolo Banchero, right? We've seen.
Yeah, but you can't just say. Right. None of those guys are Jaden Ivey. None of them.
No, of course they don't. But what I'm saying is that if you need a bucket in your Duke, you can say, all right, give the ball to Paolo, move out of the way.
But you got to get him the ball. That's the difference.
Okay, yeah, he can bring it up. But no, here's the thing. If you have Kansas, you can give the ball, at least what we've seen so far, you can give the ball to Oshai and he can go make something happen.
Not the same.
Remy Martin can do it a little bit too. It's not the same, but you're missing.
Come
my
on.
Point. Hold on. Just let me finish. Let me finish what I'm saying. God, see, this is what I deal with.
I know. I know. I deal with it every day.
Villanova does not have anything close to that guy, and that's the problem with Colin Gillespie. When you hear people criticize Colin Gillespie, it's because you can't give him the rock, get out of the way, yep. and know that you're either going to get a good shot, you're going to get a foul, or you're going to get somebody else have something created for them. That's the limitations of Colin Gillespie. He's great at what he does, but you need that guy that can be a game changer.
Yeah, they don't have
difference
it. They don't have it. They, you know, Colin Gillespie, Justin Moore, who's more of just a shooter, Brandon Slater, who's just a great, you know, energy defender right now, and he'll get his points, but that's not what he is. He's not a scorer. Jaden Ivey, to me, there just aren't many Jaden Iveys out there. You know, and again, if you're Purdue, you can run your stuff. You can, you know, Sasha can make his shots. You can get the ball into Edie or Trevion Williams. They can go to work down there. But ultimately, when all else breaks down and you have 5 seconds left on the shot clock. And the other thing is Jaden Ivey's made some shots from deep too. But the most impressive thing about Jaden Ivey, honestly, is his ability to see the floor in transition and make the right play and not, you know, there was a time today when he kind of reverted back a little bit to Jaden Ivey and tried to do too much and played too fast. But ultimately, when it mattered most, he made the right play. The game slowed down for him, and he wasn't about Jaden Ivey. He was about Purdue and winning.
No, you know what it is? It's like, you're right. They have so many guys who can make shots, who can get it in, but right. Who's going to get it to him?
Yeah.
He's the guy who's going to get it to him. But, you know, I think this brings me back to, you know, our perception of Purdue is now changing a little bit. And a little birdie told me that Jeff Goodman is making his rankings right now. And he's had a little change with where Purdue is. So where are they at now for you?
Listen, I've thought about it. Okay, so here's my big question, Rob. I'll throw it to you first. Purdue plays Gonzaga. Who are you taking today? Who are you taking? That matchup.
I would, that's tough.
It's a tough one. Purdue.
That's what I'm saying.
I might take
Drew Timmy against those two guys. Like, Drew Timmy hasn't seen those two dudes. Is Drew Timmy going to be able to go to work against Zach Edey like he's been able to go to work against?
Well, here's the thing. I think he'd be able to make things happen against Zach Edey. I'm more worried about him against Trevion than I am against him against Zach Edey, because I think that Trevion has enough footwork to be able to deal with him. Like, that's the thing that makes him so dangerous. My biggest concern would be on the defensive end. You know what Zach Edey's going to do to Chet Holmgren?
Oh, my goodness.
Zach Edey literally weighs 100 pounds more than Chet Holmgren.
Yeah. It would be scary.
100 pounds more.
I'm taking Purdue today over Gonzaga.
I think there's a very real conversation to have about whether or not
Purdue and anybody
the best team in college basketball.
That's right.
And, you know, we talked about Jaden Ivey. I want to make this point about him. Yesterday, he had 22 points. It was the explosive plays that he made. He had the dunks. He had the two passes in transition that had us going, wow. Today, he led the team in rebounding, and he led the team in assists, right? How many players do you have that can go out and have that performance?
He can get triple-doubles. He can get a triple-double. Yes. He's capable.
And again, not to just keep going over this culture and buying or whatever, but, like, he's fine. He's fine at shooting 9 shots a game. How many guys that have a chance to be a top 10 pick that had the performance that he had yesterday would come out here on this stage on ABC, on big A, this wasn't just ESPN, it was big ABC.
Yep.
Would go out and have and be okay, kind of playing second
and
fiddle.
You know what else he is? He can be an elite defender. He's got the tools. That's what I'm saying.
He's got the tools.
Like, if he wants to be, he can lock almost anybody down. I just don't know if there's another guy in the country that's got that body, that size as a guard, and that speed.
Well, yeah, the speed is that's another game changer that they have, because look, you're going to have to like limit what you do in transition if you're Matt Painter when you have a guy like Zach Edey, but like Jaden Ivey can just eliminate all of that, because he's just like, all right, I'll see you later. I'm gone.
And he kind of tries to do that at times. Again, he's still got work to do with his decision making. And Matt Painter clearly doesn't trust him with the ball in his hands as much in the half court to run the team. But, man, in transition, he is electric.
You know what? Matt Painter has done a great job with this team so far this year. I talked to him after the game, talked to him about Jaden Ivey and his versatility with the team. So let's hear what he's got to say about it. All right, here with Matt Painter. What kind of statement did this win make for you today, beating a Villanova team that's kind of synonymous with winning?
Yeah. Well, they have a great program. And I was told our guys, I said, they're so disciplined. I said, our discipline has to be better than theirs. And it wasn't at times. And then at times, in some stretches, it was. We were very fortunate. They missed some free throws. But I was proud of our guys. I thought we got some key stops. We scored 11 straight field goals at one time in the second half, which is a huge accomplishment against Villanova. But to be able to beat North Carolina and Villanova in back-to-back games is huge for us.
And, you know, we all know that Trevion Williams can score, but he was great defensively today, guarding on the perimeter, doing a little bit of everything. What have you thought of his game so far?
Well, I thought he's been great. He's had a great attitude, obviously, coming off the bench. He's doing a lot of really good things for us tonight. But his defense tonight allowed us in certain stretches to switch five ways on ball screens, and he got down in a stance and was really good.
And one last guy that I want to hit on here, you know, Jaden Ivey didn't have as showy of an outing tonight, but he came through when it really mattered. What's it going to be like for you guys this season, having a guy like that who can really come through in crunch time?
Well, he's very athletic. He can get into passing lanes and make plays on the defensive end, but his ability to pass the ball, especially in transition, has really helped us. But I thought he made a couple really nice passes, the Caleb first for a couple layups, the Caleb first for another three. And so it's huge to have someone like that can break down the defense.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
I think Matt Painter might be one of the most entertaining coaches in college basketball to talk to.
Right? He's real. That's the thing about Matt Painter. Like, he's a real dude coaching. Like, some of these other guys have a lot of BS about him. Like, there's no bullshit with Matt Painter. He is what he is. I mean, you see him, even how he coaches. He's just kind of leaning up against the scorer's table. It's almost like he's out for, like, a walk in the park, some of it. He doesn't get too high or too low. And I'll tell you what, like, the way Matt Painter does it too, doesn't cheat. We all know that. You've never heard the word cheat with Matt Painter. Like, it's almost, I mean, he probably cheated to get Robbie Hummel. Probably had to pay, drop a bag to get
Hummel. Nobody dropped a bag for Robbie Hummel. Okay.
You don't think so?
Nobody dropped a bag for Robbie Hummel.
but, you know, ultimately Painter's one of the best in the business. And he's got a team,
you know,
again that's capable.
He is so good at coaching to his team's strengths.
Yeah.
He is so good.
At he's adapted over the years so well.
I always bring up the stat, and I love it. And people that are listening have probably heard this before. But when he had Isaac Haas and Caleb Swanigan in 2017, 2018, he set records for the number of possessions that ended in the post touch. 25% of their possessions ended in the post touch in 2018, the year they had Isaac Haas. The next year, when they had Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein and made it to the Elite Eight, they set the Big Ten record for threes attempted.
That's crazy.
So he is he's completely willing to adapt what he does and change what he does to be able to get his guys in a position to succeed.
Yeah, one of the things I asked him tonight, because I had dinner with him. I went out there, West Lafayette, before the season, and the biggest topic was obviously, again, it was Zach Edey and Trevion Williams. What's he going to do? How's he going to play them together? And the one thing he said to me was, you know what, usually these things have a way of working themselves out. And I asked him tonight about that, and he again said, like, Trevion, he's just been so good, and that's set the tone for our team and our chemistry. And the fact that we are playing together and nobody's going to complain, because they're looking at that dude over there and he's the first one up yelling, screaming for his teammates. And I think that's another factor. You've got other good teams. There's going to be 10 or 12 teams that are going to be in a class similar this year. There's not a dominant team. So what could be the separator? To me, it's probably chemistry, leadership. And Trevion said to me, one of the things he said as a freshman, he didn't say a word. Said, like, not a word. He would sit in the bench, and now he's starting to use his voice as a vocal leader rather than just, you know, a silent guy.
All right, so let's, before we move on to the North Carolina Tennessee game and talk about that a little bit, I do just want to ask you, like, how concerned are you about Villanova right now? Is this the kind of thing where it's
zero.
Just like
zero,
zero,
zero?
Nothing. You're not even
less
worried about
zero.
The fact that they only play six guys and they've had two
less than zero. No, I mean, again, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I am with Villanova. Like, they're really good. If they make shots, they have a chance to go very, very deep in the tournament. But if they have one of those 3-for-22 nights from three, they probably get knocked out.
You know what, Rob? You're right when you said, like, that they've had a little trend of not being able to finish games out, and they were leading for, you know, a while during this game, and they just kind of fell apart towards the end there.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's my concern is
They'll get another guy or two. Jay will find a way.
They need to. And the tough part is when it's this early in the season, right? At this point right now, like Jordan Legain is not ready to play.
No, and he's been hurt.
Yeah, some of the younger guys are just not ready for a game like that. Like that was I hate when people say this, but that was like a Final Four game that we saw.
Yeah, the game great against atmosphere. UCLA was trading like blows. I mean, it was fun.
Same thing with the UCLA game. And I mean, we saw with UCLA too. Like Peyton Watson couldn't play in that game.
Yep.
It was too much for him that early in the season. So I think that they will develop. But like,
Jay knows he has to. That's the one thing. He said it to me after the game. He knows he's got no choice because he can't he can't go heavy with a 7-man rotation because of what happened tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's my concern with them. That's why I am worried about it. And I think they'll find a way to figure it out and get there. But like we kind of have to see them figure it out and get there. So it's going to be the thing that if there's a talk, I'll put a ball on it like this. There is a talking point about Villanova that we are going to keep coming back to until they prove it wrong.
Yeah,
it's that right there.
Yeah, I kind of wish. I mean, I didn't ask you this after, but I kind of wish they had one more big that he gotten a big out of the portal. Jay Wright's not a big portal guy. We know that. But he did take Caleb Daniels from Tulane, and Caleb Daniels has helped them. Like, he's been a good piece. And I kind of wish, even if we're a backup big with length, just somebody that he could throw out there a little bit that could kind of give him a few more minutes in case the freshmen aren't ready.
Well, what they need is who's the kid that is hurt and is not playing right now?
I think Nganu or something. Yeah.
It's Nana. And then the kid that he's a GA now that got hurt. The people in the chat are going to know exactly who.
No, he's been hurt his whole career, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I mean, if he was that's what they need is him to play 6 to 8 minutes.
I don't know how much you can rely on him. He's been hurt his whole career.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier young guys being ready versus not being ready to play. And that brings us into Tennessee a little bit. We had Kennedy Chandler have a little bit better of a game tonight. What did you think of him?
Well, first and foremost, that was a great segue. Did you see that?
That's pretty good. I tried my best.
She's the talent in the family. It's very clear now. I thought Kennedy was great. What I'm trying to wrap my head around is how much of that was playing better today versus playing against North Carolina's defense as opposed to Villanova's defense? Because North Carolina does not play any defense. Jeff Borzello, or I'm not even going to call him a friend, but that guy that works over at ESPN tweeted out a stat. North Carolina's allowed an average of 88 points and 9 3-pointers in their five games this season. That's not – like, that ain't going to get it done. They got to be better.
You know – their ball handling just is not there tonight. They were allowing, you know, there were a ton of turnovers tonight. How big a role do you think that played in their loss?
You know, I think the biggest thing for Carolina is just honestly defense and toughness.
Yeah.
They're soft. They were just over here a few minutes ago and luckily they left because they probably would have heard me calling them soft. But
I don't like that.
No, but I think they need to hear it from people. I think they need to hear from people. They got to be tougher and it starts with the front line. You know, to me, Baycott, Garcia, Manic have to be tougher. And if they're not.
I don't think it's just physicality toughness.
No, it's mental.
They need mental toughness. They need it's very hard to kind of read the tea leaves and know what the dynamic is inside of a locker room from stuff that you're watching on a court.
Yeah.
But it
just. You can predict it, though.
Yeah. But, like, just compare the way that Trevion Williams carries himself with the way that Caleb Love carries himself during a game. And just look at that difference and say, okay, one team
those we dudes know has don't great talk. Leadership. They don't even look like. I hate to say this, but they don't look like they have any bond with one another. There's no like togetherness.
You want to know that's the best part? You want to know what an NBA scout said to me today? He says he doesn't like watching North Carolina because it's a bunch of selfish dudes out there.
Yeah,
it looks like it. I mean, it does look like it. And again, you know, I think it starts with the toughness part and. It's not the first time we've questioned Carolina, a Carolina team and their toughness. But I think with this one, you go on to, the first game, no big deal, right? I mean, that was if there's a good loss, that was probably a good loss for Carolina. Well, here's your point, because
we talked about leadership and we talked about intensity and we talked about toughness. We talked about all of that when it comes to North Carolina, right? When they made their run, the best that they have looked this entire weekend in 80 minutes of basketball was when Hubert Davis was on the sidelines, stamping his feet around, screaming, getting them fired up. There's nobody on the court that was doing that. That right there is the problem. You cannot have all of that motivation, all of that energy, all of that toughness, all of those cliche things that we love talking about. It can't just come from the coach.
So do you think it was just North Carolina not being good? Because, you know, Tennessee kind of flipped the switch today and made some shots. There were 45% from three, which, you know, was a big contrast from yesterday's.
Oh, game. Yeah. They were very much a better offensive team today than they were on.
But again, how much of that was?
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably a combination,
You also have to make the shots. And look, the lineup when you play Zakai Ziegler and Kennedy Chandler together was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. And maybe Rick Barnes might have found something there. Maybe we're going to be a little bit smaller.
Ziegler was fun, man.
Yeah, I wanted to touch
New
on
York.
Him.
Yeah, New York kid, freshman who reclassified. And what Rick Barnes said after to Tali and I was Ziegler pushes Chandler. That Chandler's got obviously all the talent in the world, but he needed Ziegler in practice to be able to push him because Ziegler goes so hard, plays so hard all the time. That's the best thing for Kennedy Chandler.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you can kind of see it coming out a little bit here, right? There's a little bit of competitiveness. Playing them together is fun. Yeah. It's an interesting line.
I think it was all Grant Williams being in the building.
Yeah. He was the one hyping them up.
Dude is out of control.
Grant Williams.
Oh my goodness.
I'm very impressed that he had that much energy. Cause I saw him at the crap tables at a time that I'm not going to say on.
Yeah. You don't want to get him in trouble.
Don't expose him like that. Come on.
Ime Udoka. We don't need to get him in trouble with Ime. So just Grant Williams was not at the crap table.
No.
It was somebody else. Rob Doster doesn't even know what Grant Williams
was. It was his twin. He looked just like him.
Doster lost a lot of money at the crap table. So Gabrielle just, you know, if he comes home a little lighter in the wallet, that's why.
So are we worried about North Carolina now?
I am. Yeah, hell yeah.
I am.
Hell yeah. You got to be worried about Carolina. We had them as a preseason top 20 team.
Are they a top 25 team still?
I don't think they are today. I think they can get there if they get tougher and start actually guarding.
No, they have to play pride. Look, here's the thing. Caleb Love has taken a step. He's making shots. He's
super talented.
He's making better decisions. Yeah. Not all the time, but he's mostly making better decisions. RJ Davis was tremendous in the two games up here. Brady Manick is making shots. Dawson Garcia, we saw, was awesome yesterday.
Yep.
Armando Bacot is just going to be big and do the things that Armando Bacot does. And so they have the pieces.
Good college players. Not really the pros.
Caleb Love, if he can get there. But the thing is, like, all of those guys are doing what we wanted them to do offensively. And they're 3-2 and allowing 88 points a game. It's all defense.
They're not that far away from being 1-4. Yeah. I mean, seriously, they were pushed by Brown. They were pushed by the College of Charleston. They lost two here and, again, one to a Tennessee team that – I don't know about you, but they're like a fringe right today. They're probably a fringe top 25 team somewhere in that 20-25 range. And they just got Tennessee hung 89 on them. And I don't even know if they had it completely going. I think if they pushed it at the end, they probably could have put 100 on them.
One of the kind of positive things I do want to bring up about Carolina, you mentioned it a little bit, but Manick was pretty good today. He shot 6-10 from three, you know, was not very good yesterday. So I just wanted to bring that up and get your thoughts a little bit on him today.
I think he's so important to North Carolina. Like, both him and Dawson are so important to what North Carolina is going to be offensively this season, because they create the space. We saw it so much last year, where Caleb Love would drive and you had Garrison Brooks and Walker Kessler, two of these other big guys out there that couldn't shoot, and he'd just be driving into the trees in the paint. And when you have Dawson Garcia out there, you have to guard him out to the three-point line. Same thing with Brady Manick. So you get space in the paint to allow guys like RJ Davis and allow guys like Caleb Love to thrive. I'm not worried about anything they're doing offensively. I would like to see Caleb Love make some better decisions. And I mean, we don't need step back 30 footers with 12 seconds left on the clock at the end of it. It's like things like that. You got to get better at that. He'll learn. He's 19. I'm not super concerned about it, but it's the defense. You cannot give up 50 points and a half and expect to beat anybody.
They
gave up almost as many points in the second half as Villanova did in a full game against Tennessee yesterday. Like, that's just, you cannot do that. You have to be better on that end of the floor. You have to.
It's a new voice too, right? I mean, that's the one thing that we're not talking enough about is Roy Williams retires. He's here. They're getting used to Hubert Davis moving over a chair from the assistants of the head coach, a new staff in place. Brad Frederick, the only one who was retained. So now you've got Sean May moving up. You're bringing in new guys. So I think it's going to take some time. And listen, Hubert Davis, a terrific, terrific guy. The biggest question is going to be, can that staff and Hubert recruit pros?
Yeah.
Pros. And get some toughness, because right now this team, that's what they need. They need just a killer. They need a guy who would go in.
I'm going to push back on you a little bit there, because I think Caleb Love is good enough to be that guy. I think that he is good enough to be that
guy. Yeah, you're probably right. I think he is too, because he can create a shot. He can shoot it from deep. He's big, he's strong. Yeah, I'm not saying he's not. I just don't know if – well, first of all, I don't think – he doesn't say a word. So it's hard. You need
he's
a leader.
He's got great shoes, though.
I guess the biggest thing
– his shoe game is elite. Like, we want to talk about who wears the best shoes in college basketball. Caleb Love's out there. He's way up there.
But they just don't have – to me, what seems like a leader, and Hubert's just going into that role of being a head coach. So I think this program, they've taken a step from the last couple of years when they've struggled a little bit, but it's going to be recruiting and getting those stars. And can Carolina, they couldn't do it for a long time, and they won with 2 and 3 year guys, because they had the NCAA investigation hanging over their head. Now they don't have that anymore. You wonder, can they get those guys, and what are they going to get out of the portal? Because, again, they got good players, talent out of the portal offensively, right? Offensively. Brady Manek, great. He's a stretch 4 or 5, whatever you want to say, but he's got to be able to guard somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be – that's the talk point. That's what we're going to talk about with North Carolina until they start defending.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking right now, like, what's going to happen when they go up against Duke?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Like, who on that North Carolina team is going to be able to deal with
Paolo? They're lucky, though, the ACC isn't great this year again. It's better than it was last year, but it is not great.
Are we sure it's better than it was last year?
We may not, right? Syracuse loses to Colgate. Virginia's bad early.
Right, loses to Houston.
NC State loses to, what, Oklahoma State? The bottom stinks. The bottom's terrible.
In the first week of the season, they lost 4 games at home.
They're not good.
Pitt.
Ooh, Pitt's terrible. BC's terrible. Miami.
Georgia Tech lost at home.
No, you're right.
Miami
lost
at home
to
UCF.
They may be worse. You know, if Carolina's not like a top 25 team, who else other than
it's Duke. It's Florida State. Virginia, I think Virginia Tech is really good.
Florida. I'm not sure Florida State's great.
They'll get there.
Really? Who's their pro this year?
Florida State lost to Pitt in the first game of last season on the road.
They also had Scotty Barnes. Last I checked,
They got Matthew Cleveland.
Barnes.
No, well, not a lot of people are Scotty Barnes. But yeah, it takes time for you to get.
But what if Florida State's not? Is what I'm saying. What if they're not a top 25 team this year? Virginia, probably not a top 25 this year.
It might
Louisville,
be Duke and Virginia Tech.
Not.
Virginia Tech is good.
They're going to have to be. Listen, Virginia Tech's going to have to win like that game against Memphis. What if they lose that one? Then you're looking at the ACC as like, you know, Duke and who else? A bunch of average teams that are going to be somewhere in like the, you know, 7 to 10 range. Even 12 range when we're talking about the NCAA tournament.
All right, guys, I think we've crapped on the ACC enough here. If we got nothing else, I want to, you know, close it off with one more question. Just overall, you know, what have we learned from this tournament as a whole? What have you taken away? How have your thoughts changed on these four teams?
One thing real quick. Last night we told Talia, when we start rambling, you need to cut us off and move us along. She takes coaching. She is clearly the best.
She's coachable. She's definitely coachable. She also got $200 in her pocket.
I did.
Out of this. That's what we learned.
Standing behind him.
Need to negotiate a better rate with him.
No, he got up at 7:30 in the morning to go down again.
I did. I played blackjack at 8 in the morning.
I was like,
we almost crossed paths.
Couple hours. We missed by a couple hours. But, yeah, listen, I think, again, what we learned here is that Purdue isn't just – a possible like Final Four contender. They're a legitimate national title contender. That's what they are here, because they have a guy who's capable of, again, changing the game in Jaden Ivey, 2 terrific bigs, and a bunch of good players around, an elite shooter in Sasha around him. They've got enough. You know, they got Isaiah Thompson hit some big shots today. I like their team a lot. Hunter, brings them some kind of veteran experience at the point. They're a good team.
Caleb First. Yeah, he was awesome. That is my single biggest takeaway from this event is that like Purdue
in the conversation. Phenomenal. You're talking about the elite teams now, Gonzaga, you know, UCLA, whoever else you want to put there, you have to put Purdue in that conversation.
And I think they're towards the top of that list too.
Yeah, they're very much they should be ranked whenever those new polls
whatever
come out. Gonzaga's going to be number one because they have to be. Purdue should be two or three.
Well, what happens at the end of next week after we see Gonzaga play UCLA and Duke? Then it's going to be kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, Gonzaga is going to be number one until they lose. Right. When you're Gonzaga,
that's
you're.
But
what if you split? What if you split those two? Well, then I guess whoever
Purdue will be number one.
No, not necessarily, because you're going to lose. You would lose to UCLA or Duke. That's one of them. Listen, one of them will jump. Yeah. If Duke beats Gonzaga,
here's the thing about this season. The biggest thing about this season is
it's going to be changing.
It's going to be a rotation.
Yes, a revolving door of number
one. The only thing that might get complicated is that Duke might have a run if the ACC stinks, and Duke might have a run in the ACC where they don't lose. Gonzaga might have a run in the ACC where they
don't. No, don't say that with BYU. Do not disrespect Mark Pope.
I think, in all honesty, I think that Gonzaga might have better competition in the top five of the WCC. And the ACC has in the top five.
It's sad.
Wow. You hear that?
I went there.
Rob Doster just called the WCC
Do
better
not
than
disrespect
the ACC.
Is this really a hot take, though?
Hot take. Yes, it's a hot take. Coach K is not going to be happy with this one of yours.
Why? I just said that he's awesome.
All right.
Wow.
Do not disrespect the Dons like that.
Now we're just crapping on all the leagues here. So I think
we're just sticking with the ACC, really. That's it. We'll
I think we got to close it out before we hurt anyone else's.
We
got to
close it out because they're going to close us out here. They're going to throw Doster out with the trash soon.
Yes.
Which is where he belongs.
And this has been the Field of 68 After Dark live at Mohegan Sun. We will see you guys again tomorrow night at 11 o'clock.